All right. So if you're like me, you love a good mystery. Does anyone else like a good mystery story? Right? Some of you, like, you don't like mysteries. You have to know exactly what's going to happen. You don't like mysteries? Okay. Some of what we've talked about this weekend is kind of a mystery. It's kind of a mystery, right? Do we understand it completely? How many of you go, I understand completely what my resurrected body will be like? Pretty close, right? You feel pretty confident now. Good, good, good. So we talked a lot about, and Jackie really discussed what? What was she talking about? You can shout it out. Glory! Glory! Yes. That one day, though our flesh may fail, that our body will be raised incorruptible, that we will have a new spiritual body. And this was written really to those who mourn, to those who have lost loved ones, to say that although they've passed away, and although people will still pass away, we know and that there's hope that they will be raised incorruptible, incorruptible. But now, Paul transitions to another mystery that not all of us, not all humans are going to die. This is really cool. And I think you know what I'm going to talk about a little bit. That some of us are going to be caught up in the sky. And we have that hope. So we get to kind of read a little bit about that. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 and just kind of skim through what we've read so far. You should have a really good picture of what 1 Corinthians 15 is all about. In the first passage, we talked about the reminders, right? That we need a reminder of what? We need to remember the gospel. Very good. Let's give her something. Somebody give her something. Here's a cup of ice water right there, right back there. Good. We need to be reminded because we forget. We forget, and that's why we're here. We learned that this body is going to be changed, right? And this is going to be a real body, so pinch, pinch, right? We learned that Christ is our captain, and we're all in this together. We learned a lot about empathy, yeah? Just, you may not know what to say. Maybe it's better not to say anything. Maybe it's better not to say anything, but to just be there, just to be there. And I'm actually going to touch on this like a little bit today, a little bit. Not exactly empathy, but kind of the same vein of thought. And then we had J.J. Heller speak about empathy again, crazy, and about love, what love really means, and I love that. And then this morning, Jackie shared with us again about even though those that die, it's like a seed that's planted in the ground. It actually dies. And then it raises just like a plant. Isn't that a weird picture? When somebody dies, that's just like a seed. If you lost somebody, that was a seed. And they're like literally emerging from the ground when Jesus calls them as a flower to glory. Glory! Okay, so I'm going to read you the very end of the chapter. And as I do, I want you to close your eyes. Usually I like people to look and circle and underline things, but I want you to close your eyes and just listen. Listen to the words and listen for anything that really pops out to you. And if you can't hear me that well, then you can follow along. So I'm going to start in verse 48. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. As is the man of heaven, so also are we who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. So that's what Jackie was talking about. And then this is the good part. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So now, as you listen to that, without peeking, why don't you share with somebody sitting next to you any words that resonated as I read it to you? Even a picture came to your mind. Go ahead and share for 1 minute. Go. All right. Let's bring it back. Bring it back. Bring it back. Come back to me. Come back to me. All right. So I'm sure a lot of you had a lot of different things. I heard really different things all around the room. Victory over death, the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet will sound, death has no more victory over us. Be steadfast, immovable, because your labor is not in vain. There's all sorts of good stuff in here. So when I read through this, and this is kind of cool that J.J. Heller did her lullaby CD, because what really popped out to me here and what my outline is, it's very easy to remember because maybe you've heard this song before. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you... So my outline today is one, twinkle, twinkle, little star. Two, what you are. And three, like a diamond in the sky. Okay? So we're going to go through this pretty quickly. But essentially, twinkle, twinkle, little star is the first three verses that I have there from 50 to 53. And that's where we really hear that we shall not all sleep. We won't all die. But that some of us will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye. And I love that. Like an eye twinkles. How long does it take for an eye to twinkle? Just a second, less than a second, a millisecond. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. The trumpet will sound. Boom, boom, boom. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. And that's when we put on immortality. And this is where really Paul emphasizes that our materialism is going to be pointless. When Jesus blows that trumpet, we're not going to be able to take anything with us. We don't want to take anything with us. What we are going to take with us are... what's the only thing that's going to go with us to heaven? Our spirits. Our bodies are going to be changed. Our bodies will go, but they'll be changed. But the only thing that's going to be around us is who? Who? Others. That's it. Just other people. That's it. That is the only thing that's going to last, is seeing Jesus face to face and other people. That's it. That's it. It won't matter what your bank account looks like, what your house looks like. It won't matter if you have a nice car or a beater. It won't matter what your clothes look like, because you're going to have this new glorious body that we don't even know what it looks like. So, materialism ends. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:17 that this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. I like that word there, transient. They have no anchor. They have no anchor. But the things that are unseen are eternal. That are unseen are eternal. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the trumpet sounds. The dead will be raised first. So that's weird. I don't understand that exactly. But the dead will be raised first and changed. And then we who are alive will follow. And I think this is all going to happen really fast. Okay, it's not like all of a sudden these graves are going to pop out and... I don't think so, maybe. Perhaps. When we first started putting up these sails, they really looked like ghosts. So that's the point. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive will be caught up in the air. And that's the word for rapture. If you heard the word rapture, it means caught up. Caught up. And there's a Greek word in there, and it's a really hard word to say. It's like haptizo. And then that got changed. That got translated in Latin to rapturo or rapturos. And that means caught up. It literally means caught up in the sky. So it's like Jesus just like a straw sucks you out of this earth. I love it. All right. So, I'll be changed. Voila, is what I put in my notes. That's funny. All right. We're going to move on to what you are. So, twinkle, twinkle, little star. There will be a twinkling of an eye. Just a moment. It's just a moment. The trumpet will sound and you'll be changed. And then what you are, who you are. How I wonder what you are or who you are. We have victory in Jesus, and this is really that hope that we have. It says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, in verse 54, and the mortal puts on immortality, then we shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's really key here is that Paul's saying, this hasn't come to pass yet, right? People are still going to die. And that really stinks. It really stinks. But one day, in that twinkling of an eye, when the trumpet sounds, death is completely done. There will be no more death. It will be defeated. And Jesus has defeated eternal death for us. We have that hope of eternal life. But at that point, death will be defeated. And the sting of death is in sin. In sin. Because we know that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God fulfills his promises. In Hebrews 6:19, it says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast. There's those words again, sure and steadfast. And one which enters within the veil. The veil. So our anchor, what makes us secure and stable in this life, should not be material possessions. It shouldn't be. Our anchor is in Christ. Our anchor is in something eternal, not in something temporal. And this is hard for us, right? We feel secure. What makes you feel secure? Think about it. What makes you feel secure? Is it your favorite blankie? Probably not. Not anymore. At some point it was, right? Probably, or your little favorite stuffed animal. Is it having X amount of dollars in the bank account? And I'm just being honest here. I've always been a worrier about money. And I found my mom, and I'm like, why am I so worried about money? I don't want to worry so much, you know? I'm always like, oh, money, oh, you know? I don't know if I can give because I don't have enough money, you know? Why? God promises that the more generous we are, the better things are, that he'll take care of us, the more generous we are. I looked back in one of my mom's old journals about her kids, and her prayer for me was that I would be more generous. Like when I was like 8. I was like, okay, I'm going to be praying that I'm more generous. I want to be more generous because, you know, the Lord really promises that the more we give, the more we receive. That we receive when we give. And I don't think we can quantify that in a monetary amount. I don't think that's what it means. But I know that in those moments where I've been like, okay, here you go, Lord. Take it all. Take it. Just take it all. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to rip it off like a Band-Aid. Just take it all. Then all of a sudden, it's such a joy to give. To give. Because what else do we have in this life but the ability to give? If we keep it all for ourselves, obviously there is responsibility. And we don't want to be like, I gave it all away, so I'm living on the street now. I don't have food to eat. Not quite like that. You want to be responsible. But willing, and willing to look at everything you have. When we made this move to Orlando, I was looking, it made me look at everything that I had, every penny that I had, and really said, Lord, am I using this to your glory? Am I using this for your glory? Like, I don't have that much. So I'm fortunate in that way because I can just be like, okay, am I using it? Yep, I'm using that to you. Okay, I'm done. You know, inventory. But am I using, I looked at my car and I really studied my car. And I was like, this is something that I have. Am I using it for God's glory? Am I using it for God's glory? Seriously. Or am I road raging? No. Am I willing to give people a ride? Would I be willing to give of it or glorify the Lord however it needs to be given? Would I be willing? That's a good exercise. Take an inventory of what you have, because we all have something. Even the clothes that you're wearing. That t-shirt that you got for this retreat. Use it for God's glory, because that's what lasts forever. That's where our anchor is, behind the veil. Hebrews 10:20 says, by a new and living way, he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So that's a really interesting thought, that our anchor is in, it's within the veil, it's veiled, we don't understand it fully, but that Jesus tore down that wall of separation between us and God, that we can know God intimately, we can know him well because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us. It's a really beautiful thing. David Guzik says that the sting of death is in sin and the strength of sin is in the law. The principle of resurrection also proves that we are not under the law any longer. We don't have to be bound by rules and regulations. We are no longer subject to the penalty of the law, which is death, and we are set free from sin. Sin is the ultimate cause of death, and the result cannot be defeated unless the cause, sin, is defeated as well. Romans 6:1 through 14, that's a really good passage. I'm not going to read it right now, but you might want to look it up. Romans 6, it talks a lot about sin and the law and how we're freed from the law. You don't have to do anything but be willing to love. And Jesus said that all the commands are fulfilled in two things, really one thing, but demonstrated to two different areas. What's that one thing? Love. All of the law is fulfilled in love. And this is like the hardest thing to do. We're called to love people. And we're called to love them unconditionally. And I'm not going to say that I fully understand that, because I've wrestled with this. I feel like the Lord's been kind of challenging me in this, and I've wrestled with it because there are bad things that happen, right? Husbands leave. They commit adultery, right? That's bad. Okay? That does not mean that you have to be like all lovey-dovey to that person. You know, I love you still. Don't worry. I love you. I just love you. No. But we do have to extend God's grace and love to them, or else we grow bitter, right? That doesn't mean you have to reconcile that relationship in any way, but we do have to be willing to love and pray for them. And this does not mean that you call them and tell them all the horrible things that they did to you, whether or not it's a husband or a friend or anything. You don't do that. That's what love says. Love says it's done. Think about the prodigal son. I love this story, right? The prodigal son wastes his inheritance completely and totally. He goes and he works among pigs. And then he decides, why am I doing this? I have a dad that loves me. I'm just going to go back to dad. And I'm going to see if he'll let me work for him. I want to work for him. And the dad, I've always pictured him like sitting, like this is like a southern farm. I don't know, like our plantation, right? And he's like sitting on a rocking chair, the dad. Do-do-do-do-do. And there's like this dirty, disgusting kid that comes around the corner. And the dad goes, that's my son. And he runs to the son. And not only does he doesn't give him a job at all, he makes a feast for him. And the older son that's been faithful is like, why are you doing that? I've been faithful to you. And the father says, don't you know that everything that I have is yours? Everything I have is yours. You've been faithful, and you'll be rewarded for that. Don't look at what other people are getting. Just between you and the Lord. What's he blessed you with? Everything that he has, he's given to you. God, he's given to us. You are who you are is an instrument of grace. And grace can be offensive sometimes, right? We talked about that. Grace is hard. It strips you down to the very core of who you are. And in order to accept it, you have to be willing to die. So I want you to think right now. Think for a minute. Maybe jot it down. How are you living in love? And how would you like to live by extending God's love to other people? How would you like to do that? How can you love? How can you extend God's love to other people? Maybe even think in your head of somebody that's really hard to love. Really hard to love. And Jesus doesn't say, love everybody except for those people that are difficult to love. He does say, love your neighbor as yourself. Think of that person that's really hard to love, and then pray for them. Let's pray for them right now. Dear Lord, we just lift up that person that we're thinking of that's really hard to love, Lord. Give us some understanding of just their own struggles, their own storms. Give us your love for them. And we know that does not mean reconciliation or being best friends, but help us to show your love, to be faithful to pray for them. If they don't know you, that they would know you. Lord, that they would know you soon, that they might even know you in a couple of days, Lord, that we could have that opportunity. And it's even up to us, Lord, to really share the gospel, that we would do that, or we could pray that someone else would share the gospel with them. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not finished yet. You can keep setting up around me, I suppose. I wanted to show you a couple of pictures. I thought this was really sweet. It says, to live, you have to love fully. right? And right there, is it hard to love a baby? Not too hard. I mean, except for at like 3 a.m. when they're still crying and their cry is really loud and it's waking up your 4-year-old and you don't sleep, right? But for the most part, it's very easy to say, I unconditionally love this little baby. It's pretty easy. Some people don't, but ultimately that's easy. But God commands us to love with that agape love, to love fully. And that means even loving as they grow older. So you can flip to the next slide. I love that. And showing love, this is a soccer player in England, and this girl has severe disabilities, and she's giving him a little kiss. That is really sweet. To love the unlovable, to bestow love to those people that maybe even make us feel awkward or uncomfortable. And I have a picture here of an elderly mother, so a daughter caring for her elderly mother. Our elderly parent. There are moments where it's really hard to love. It's really hard to love. But those moments are the moments that last forever. I can think of some really difficult moments of love, and those are the moments that I will remember forever and ever. And so the last point there is like a diamond, that you are like a diamond in the sky. So write down really quick, what do you know about diamonds? What are some characteristics of diamonds? Oh, you're just talking. Just talk about it then. Shout it out. Talk about it in your groups. 1 minute.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no.
Let's go.
Okay, bring it back. So, what do you know about diamonds? They're girl's best friend. And we're all diamonds, so. Yeah? They are they soft or are they hard? And they're strong, right? They're created under stress, under pressure. They're refined under pressure, under storms and stress. What? They're shining bright. They reflect the light. They reflect the light. Right? The best diamonds are pure. Pure. And diamonds are made of only carbon. That's it. They're made of one element. It's kind of cool. Yes. Ooh, I like that. If you got a diamond in the dark, it's basically good for nothing. You need the light to see all the sparkly brilliance. You need the light to see all the sparkly brilliance. So, right, there are fakes. There's fakes. They're what? They're a symbol of love. I like that. Very nice. Ooh, yes? They need to be cut by an expert gemstone cutter, craftsman, man, person, woman. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, yeah, they're all different. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that there's all different colors in the diamond. It's beautiful. It reflects the rainbow, the light. It separates the light. Yes. They're transformed, right? That's really cool. Okay. So right now, we are not beautiful, cut, perfect, set diamonds. We are diamonds in the... But one day, we will be transformed. to beautiful diamonds. It takes some pressure, right? It takes some cutting. But it's a symbol of love. It's a symbol of love. And so Paul really declares here, this is his last and final exhortation. And these words I want you to write really big somewhere, okay? So he says, be steadfast. Steadfast. And the word there is hedraeos. Hedraeos, which means you're sedentary, which is sort of funny, right? That you're not moving, but that you're sitting. It's like you found your place and you're sitting there. You are not going to move. You're firmly in place, steadfast. Colossians 1:23 says, if you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. Immovable. So steadfast, immovable. That means it cannot be moved. Pretty simple. The word in Greek is ametakinetos. And we get that word from kinesthetics, right? It means be moving, moving, moving. But this one's don't move. Just stay where you're at. And this doesn't mean that you drown. But it means stay steadfast and immovable in your faith. Always. How often? Always abounding in the work. I really like this word. It's paraseu. Paraseu. It means to overflow above a fixed measure. To excel. And this says abounding in the work of the Lord. And the work here is ergon, which means business or employment, like a handiwork, like putting your hands to something beautiful, making something beautiful. So always abound in that work. And a lot of you did those hidden treasures, right? You looked for hidden treasure in the women all around. And how many of you got some awesome deliveries that encouraged your hidden treasure, right? We are all creative. We're all creative. God has made us in the image of his Son, and he is the ultimate creator. And so we are called to abound in the work of the Lord. And then it says, knowing that your labor is eternal. And I thought, when I first read this, I was like, work and labor, that must be the same, right? Abound in your work, knowing that your labor is eternal. Work and labor, same thing. No. And I think we all understand the difference between something that is our work, that we actually love doing, that we're good at, that when we do it, we feel alive. Does anyone have anything like that? You like to do those things. There's certain works that you feel, this is awesome. Maybe it's a hobby or talent. But then there's labor. And labor is difficult. The word labor here is actually kopos, which means a beating of the chest with sorrow. Trouble. Knowing that your trouble is eternal. Not that it's going to last into eternity, but that it's producing a diamond. It's producing something eternal. And I know I've been there. When you have those moments where you say, I don't see anything good in this. I know Joni mentioned those three sweet babies, unborn, that went to be with the Lord. I don't see any good in that. And it's hard. It's hard to say that's good. But I do know that God is good. I don't understand. But knowing that our trouble is eternal, that God is eternal, and that one day, sweet Jocelyn, she will run and hold those sweet three babies in her arms. And it's like she'll know them, you know, forever. And that's eternal, and that's beautiful. So I just want to leave you at the end knowing that you are a diamond. And I want you just to think about how you're going to shine like a diamond as you enter the world today. And I'm going to welcome up the ladies that are going to serve communion. We're going to be taking communion together, and the worship people. And we're just going to have a time of worship. That's okay. It's already cracked. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to have a time of worship. We're going to take communion. So if we could dim the lights.